This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Salve, I am Claudio Simonetti, the Goblin keyboard player, and you are listening to Sci-Fi and Screen on Joy 94.9.
Gotta be a doctor?
Surgeon.
Follow me.
What do I have to do?
Yeah, we prefer to rat was not to die tonight.
You can put the bat down, Dr. Mason. I'm just a desperate woman looking for help.
What exactly does she want me to do?
Specialties, Dr. Grant. Have you ever heard of body modification?
There's a monster inside all of us, and sometimes it gets out. Because I don't understand, like, how a person can direct by themselves just because
It seems crappy. It seems like a lot of work.
It does seem like a lot of work.
And it seems like you have no real
ally.
Who does
the most work out of you two?
Jen. Well, that's I only do the most work because she's a lot of work.
No, because, the thing what Jen does is I can go into a fantasy world, that like the one that we're creating, so I only know the actors by their character names. I only know what's going on in the movie. I know everything with the movie, but the real world... that I don't want to go there at all.
And Jen puts out fires.
Yeah. Jen makes sure that the prosthetics are exactly how they're supposed to be. That if someone's having a meltdown, she calls them out of everything. Because I don't have a patience for that. Like if someone comes over to me with a stupid question, I'm like, I have no time for this.
It's awesome. It's like an episode of Charmed.
No, it is. Absolutely. If someone has anything,
when
to
are you going to direct Charmed? I'd love to see you guys do. Imagine if you did. They rebooted Charmed.
Oh my god.
Six episodes. God, I would want you to do one of those episodes.
Loved. I don't feel like media should censor things. I think parents should just be parents and educate you on that. There's no age limit to education.
Whoa, how cutting edge. You mean parents actually being there with their kids?
All of that adult stuff. Like, I remember when I watched my mom, because of Gene Wilder was in the movie, and she should have known because Richard Pryor was also in it. She got See No Evil, Hear No Evil. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That comedy. Oh, love that movie. And we started watching it, and as soon as the first F word happened, my mom paused it, and we all looked at each other, and my mom's like, there's going to be adult language in this, and we're going to talk about it afterwards, but we're going to watch it together, and don't tell your dad. And I was like, yes!
Oh, it was awesome. I watched horror movies when I was a kid, and you know, I turned out, you know, pretty successfully.
well adjusted.
That's one of the things that I loved about comic books growing up, is that they are very real people that just happen to have superpowers as well. And Jane Vasco, before she gets her powers, is pound for pound this amazing super cop. And she's also very flawed. She's a very human person. She's got issues with her daddy. I mean, who doesn't?
Yeah.
And she has the problem of falling in love with the wrong person. I love the way that she is bisexual, because she falls in love with people, not just what they look like.
Yeah.
Amazing.
amazing.
I really hope Suspiria's soundtrack plays when I get to the pearly gates. Like, dun, 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 dun. Either that or just a guitar solo from Slash.
Yeah. Oh, well, maybe a combination.
Or both. Oh, my God.
Or you're getting chased by Kane or something.
Oh, that would be amazing.
It's Danielle Harris is one of the angels. She comes. She's got the keys. She's got the keys to the kingdom. You can see my background coming out.
Oh, God. I would love that so much.
We should start the interview. Okay. Oh dear, look, here we are, Sci-Fi and Scream, it's me, the Screamer, it's Sonia, and at last I have in the studio, I've got them locked in the room here for a wee while, it's the Twisted Twins themselves, it's Jen and Sylvia Soska, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
It's so good to be back.
You sound better than you did last time. I mean, on the phone, millions of miles away.
Yeah, I don't know where we were then. I mean,
you were where's Tristan, is she coming?
She's in Los Angeles, she just finished doing three films with Jessica Cameron.
In 3 weeks.
Yeah, they did two features kidding? And one making of documentary. And then they asked us what we thought of doing it. I was like, you shouldn't do it.
Well, Jessica Cameron is amazing. Like, she's this Toronto-born director, but she's like this kind of superwoman. Like, normally when things should blow up in your face, Jessica just kind of like thrives in that and everything works out for her. Truth or dare,
yeah. Oh, wow. She's supposed to be here. Is she coming?
Yeah, she and Tristan are coming together from Los Angeles.
On Wednesday.
Oh, Wednesday.
I miss Tristan.
I miss Jessica. I miss them both. We were texting them the whole time. Apparently, while they were shooting in the desert, it started to snow and their camera melted. So I was like, yep, that's independent filmmaking. Figure out how to make it.
How does it melt in the snow?
That's what I was thinking, too. Apparently, it's set on fire, which is pretty much a bad omen when your camera sets on fire in a snowstorm.
I think it's because God has a really good sense of humor, especially when it comes to independent filmmaking. He's just sitting on his bar stool being like, what can I do down to smite these people?
Maybe he's had too many Canadian clubs or something.
Probably has.
Pissed in the snow. I don't know.
Damn those Canadians. They're never my favorite people.
Oh, I've been pissed in the snow before. It wasn't good.
Keeps you from being cold, though.
Oh, look out, blood everywhere.
Oh, my God.
I'd fallen over and hit my head on a hard, compact snow, and I gave myself a blood nose, but I'd passed out, and I woke
Holy
up.
Holy crap.
And it was awesome. No, but it was awesome waking up, like, wow, it's morning, and there's blood everywhere. Whose is it? That's the first thing I thought.
Whose is it?
Can't be mine. Oh, my God.
That's what I think when I wake up covered in blood. I'm like, uh-oh, what'd I do last night?
But blood in the snow is beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Or have blood you done on blood, blood on the Snow?
No.
Films with
not
blood
in our PSA. We did one PSA where we bleed from the head.
Yeah, and then there's a new movie that we might actually be starting on January 19th next year, which is a lot of blood in the snow.
That's an exclusive. Yeah. We haven't even said
mentioned that to anybody.
Not even the date.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they said the start date was. I was like, oh my God, I hope so. We're just casting right now, so if we get our lead locked in, it'll work. Or you know how filmmaking
Has to work soon because that's not far away.
It's not a very long time. Well, you never know. Like a lot of the times with casting, people come at the very last minute.
January is a funny time because nobody's working because the film industry really closes down over Christmas. And then January, it's like, oh no, I spent too much money. I guess I'll do an independent film with the Soska sisters.
That's always what you should do when you're broke. Be like, I should make a film.
But do they realize that you can't pay them though?
Maybe sure pizza. Someone will pay them. We pay them in sexual harassment. We sexually harass everyone because God knows we don't pay them enough.
Yeah.
That's an exclusive as well. Now, of course, the Twisted Twins, you guys are responsible for one of the biggest, grandest films ever, I think, in the genre. And that is, of course, American Mary.
Oh, bless you.
But now you can see No Evil 2. I mean, with the phenomenon Kane, look at the size of that man. And, of course, a returning Catherine Isabel as well.
Of course.
It's such a fun movie. I mean, apart from all the, you know, cute gimmicks and the horror and slash of, you know, aspects and getting rid of annoying people, as you do in a morgue overnight. Working with Danielle Harris, I mean, what was it like making that movie?
Oh, she's horror royalty. I always wanted to work with Danielle Harris, and I can't believe that she is pound for pound. Like, I know that she could kick Jacob Goodnight's ass. Like, she is a tough girl.
Like, Danielle is a real-life Amazon, and I think that's because she grew up being chased by masked men and also being a killer herself.
Oh, my God.
Well, she got trapped in an elevator, and so what a normal person would do is wait until the elevator, you know, somebody saves you. She kicked out the roof and climbed out so she wouldn't be late for a meeting. Like, nobody would do
dedication.
That but Danielle Harris, like, she is if a guy was chasing me with a machete, I'd just go to her house and hide behind her.
She's
be like,
a femme fatale. She's a tough chick.
She's the real deal. I love the Hatchet films. I know they're a bit sort of cheesy, but when
that
she comes
makes
in
them
they're
so good
fun. cheesy or bloody. I don't know what the difference is, but See No Evil 2. Now that's going to be playing, we're fortunate to have it for Monster Fest this year, 2014. I believe it's playing on the 30th. So
yeah, I'm so excited.
You guys doing Q&A and all of that?
Absolutely, definitely. And if you come any night during Monster Fest, we don't leave. We're just pretty much there. We've moved into the Nova.
I heard that you know, I'm surprised you got away from there today.
There's nothing playing yet.
Yeah.
As soon as it starts, we'll be over there.
I believe you have to be back by 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock or something.
I think so. The editor is playing. Astron 6 is the editor. Yeah. I think we're the biggest fangirls of Astron 6.
I haven't seen it.
Oh my God. You're going to die. Oh God.
How am I going to talk to them?
It's incredible. It's the Canadian giallo comedy you didn't know you wanted. It's just brilliant. I love watching it with an audience that doesn't realize at first that it's a comedy. And then they're like, Oh, this is ridiculous. I should be laughing.
But the thing is, they never make fun of giallo. They do it in the highest respectful way, and there's references to every, like, giallo movie in there. So beautiful. You're like, oh my gosh.
With the sounds as well? Do they get the sound effects? Well,
they got one of the guys from Goblin is actually did the soundtrack.
Claudio Manetti. I had Claudio in here. I think he sat in that chair.
Oh my God. I'm taking the chair with me.
Get off that chair. Goblin. I want it.
Goblin came around. They actually do come out side of Italy, and they came down here to do the soundtrack of Suspiria, so they had a special. It was awesome.
That's amazing.
Even though it was a dubbed one, it was so funny. But it was awesome because you just transfixed, and they were in front on the stage, and then of course the film was playing in the background. It was just like heavenly. It was just heavenly.
My God,
you know?
That's amazing.
I really hope Suspiria's soundtrack plays when I get to the pearly gate. It's like dun 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 dun.
Either that or just a guitar solo from Slash.
Yeah.
Oh, well, maybe a combination.
Or both. Oh my God.
Or you're getting chased by Kane or something.
Oh, that would be amazing.
And Danielle Harris is one of the angels. She comes. She's got the keys. She's got the keys to the kingdom. You can see my background coming out.
Oh God, I would love that so much. I would love to have my characters greet me in heaven if I could have any. Thing.
They're all like just pissed off people though, generally. I don't know if I want to run into any of them.
I think I'd like the Noah's Ark. I reckon I'd love that without Russell Crowe. It'll be cool. My alternative version, full of video games, pinball machines, and bars.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. There better be a bar in heaven.
I bet there is. That's where God hangs out.
On the bar stool.
That's why it rains, yeah?
I think
he's
so.
Pissed.
He's pissed.
He's got a bad bladder, you know, at his age. It's like... leaky bladder. He knows that he needs those nappies. What do they call those diapers?
Depends. That's what they are in North America.
Is that what they call them? Depends.
Depends. Yeah, we had Dr.
Depends on what? Depends. Depends on what? All right. So Evil Dead. Not Evil Dead. Oops. See No Evil 2. We've talked about the American Mary, of course. But next, I mean, what's exciting for us on Sci-Fi and Scream is you're going to be helming Painkiller Jane.
I am so, so excited. Jennifer and I grew up on comic books, and we always wanted to do a comic book movie, and we never assumed we'd get something as amazing as Painkiller Jane. I mean, there's no one like her, and especially we're watching all these comic book movies, and they're like, women can't be the lead character, and there's no market for it. Well, wait, can I swear?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, fuck that. We have a bisexual cop, Painkiller Jane, Jane Vasco, who's tough as nails, and she's just a real human, and I think that's something that has always attracted me to the character, that she's a real person before any of the superhero stuff happens.
That's one of the things that I loved about comic books growing up, is that they are very real people that just happen to have superpowers as well. And Jane Vasco, before she gets her powers, is pound for pound this amazing super cop. And she's also very flawed. She's a very human person. She's got issues with her daddy. I mean, who doesn't?
Yeah.
And she has the problem of falling in love with the wrong person. I love the way that she is bisexual, because she falls in love with people, not just what they look like.
Yeah.
And it was something that was brought up as soon as we came out to the project, and the script is written by Jimmy Palmiotti, the co-creator of Painkiller and Jane, and the first thing everyone asks is, oh, she's probably not going to be bi. I was like, damn straight she's going to be bi. She's bi.
Damn
she's
going to
be
damn
bi.
Straight.
Damn straight. That's not going to be in the Hollywood, oh, titillating for the male audience. No, we're going to show you a real bisexual woman, just a real human being, which you don't get to see enough.
It's not going
to
be like Constantine. I mean, they've taken that out as well.
That was so stupid, because it's like, well, you know, both. And they said, oh, it's not an important enough part of his character. character. And I was like, well, maybe him being with women isn't an important enough part of his character.
Mind you, it was David S. Goyer saying that, and maybe I should edit this out. But David S. Goyer thinks that She-Hulk was created to be raped by the Hulk. So, wow. Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Anyone that read anything that about She-Hulk would know that she'd be the one raping the Hulk.
Yeah.
Poor timid Bruce Banner, like, go away from me, we're cousins.
He's a bit of an interesting man because he did it. He said this all on a podcast.
Oh my God.
Thinking nobody listens to podcasts.
All listeners only listen to podcasts.
You know, it always bums me out when somebody says something like that because you're like, wow, thank you for pushing us back so many years and ruining characters that we love with your stupid, misguided opinion.
Just make it normalize it or whatever they call it, you know?
Yeah, you know.
It just becomes the furniture.
Oh, God.
That's what it should be. And then we can all move on.
Exactly.
Just carry on making, you know, excellent stuff. So, Painkiller Jane, when do you start?
Well, go ahead.
Are you allowed to say that?
We can say that we are looking for the right actress to play Jane right now. And the tough thing is you see so many ladies play superheroes and all they do is it looks like they just starve themselves and they're like rake thin. But if you look at Jane, she's a sculpted, tough badass of a chick. Kind of like how Chris Pratt went from Parks and Recreation to Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm. You never see a woman go through that transformation, and it's so important to her character because she's the kind of girl that you don't try and pick up at a bar. You spill a little bit of her beer and then you get the fuck out of the bar.
Yeah, exactly. So as soon as we find Jane, and the funny thing is we're approaching like my favorite actresses on the planet for Jane, and the fact that they have the script and they're reading it, it's terrifying, but it's exciting at the same time. I mean, casting is one of the hardest things because 90% of your job is casting. You get the wrong actress for something like this and that's the whole movie, it all falls down.
And so you can't leave it up to someone else, you have to involve yourself.
It's nice that Jimmy Palmiotti is one of the producers as well because he created the character, so he has such a strong vision for it, and there's just such a great creative kind of a relationship between us and the other producer, Stephen LaRoe, and we all want to make the same movie, which is nice because the last two incantations didn't really make it Jane. It was just
it frustrates me when someone takes some source material and then they turn it into a film and it's got nothing to do with the comic book. Just, you know, call it something else.
Yeah, exactly. But I can't even say who it is, but I'm so freaking excited because she's like my favorite actress on the planet.
Because she has a
Can you do it in sign language?
And she's played at badass heroines before, and I think this is just her with the short red hair. I can
it's
already see her.
It's insane to think
her.
That Marvel hasn't already gone after her for a superhero role, because I look at her and I'm like, she's very marketable. She's very, very successful. She's young. She's beautiful. She's tough.
It's so funny because Jane got a lot of press for a long time since it got announced at San Diego Comic-Con this year. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, we're making Captain Marvel now. And I'm like, are you guys sure you want to do that? You're just trying to steal our press.
Yeah, yeah.
Jane will still be a better movie because I hate to say it, Marvel now has so many executives involved that it has to be a rated kind of PG-13 type movie. Even with comic books like Deadpool that have, you know, much stronger content, or The Punisher.
Yeah.
And you see them kind of, you know, brought down with the levels of their violence so everyone can enjoy them. Jane is a rated R character. She has to be a rated. I mean, she's a cop and she kills people and she gets shot and she heals.
Yeah, and as a huge prosthetic nerd, I'm really excited because in the Wolverine movies, you never get to see really him getting injured and then regenerating.
So will you have a team of people that will be able to do those sort of effects?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We're going to have a blend between prosthetics and visual effects for that, which I cannot wait to do. Maybe we can shoot in reverse.
I think we should shoot in reverse because if we blow her arm open and then shoot it backwards, that would be really cool.
Okay. Yeah, so obviously this time around there's a good budget. Sizable budget.
Oh, absolutely. I have never even seen this much money. I don't even know what I'm going to do with it.
How many zeros is that?
Too many.
More than they give us. Usually they just give us the zero.
Well, at least this time, I mean, I remember you guys talking about American Mary. Your parents had to, mortgage their house
or
something?
They did.
At least this time they won't have to be homeless.
No.
Almost homeless.
Exactly. Thank God. But I think it's a good thing that we started like Dead Hooker. That was all us maxing out our credit cards, and Mary was my parents' money. So you kind of have a knowledge for the value of a dollar. So we never overspend anything. Yeah, like if anything's spent, I'm like, no, let's not waste the money. And I think that makes us better directors.
Oh yeah, I'm very much about where the money is going. When someone says, oh, we're going to spend this on that, I'm like, oh, I don't see why we have to cheaper. Spend it.
Exactly. Yeah, cheaper. Yeah.
We've got that independent spirit. Like, oh, I'm not going to spend money on that. Yeah. We need it for, you know, there's some things in the world that you have to spend money on.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess you want quality. You want it to look good. Absolutely. You want to bring over new people to the Soska world because you're probably going to get a whole different audience too on top of what you have.
Yeah. I've been dreaming of getting a wide theatrical.
Oh, that's
been
a wide theatrical
forever.
But we've gotten a lot of a new fan base, especially working with Lionsgate and WWE. I can't tell you how cool it is to have somebody who didn't even know a movie like American Mary could exist, and they knew we were doing See No Evil 2 and we knew we were doing Vendetta, and so they looked and they rented American Mary, and then they come over to me and they're like, I didn't even know these people existed. They're like, I really liked it and I really understood that. And that's all we wanted to do with it.
I love giving a dialogue. Glenn, when we gave Glenn Kane Jacobs a copy of American Mary, because we were like, Glenn, do you know why we were hired? He's like, no, I haven't seen any of your stuff. We're like, that's okay, Glenn. Here's American Mary.
This is something to put on late at night.
He loved it. Oh my God, did he love it. And he's become our biggest advocate. He's gotten all the other superstars to watch it.
Yeah,
that's what you want. That's what you want, and you do want that because look at Catherine Isabel's career too.
Oh,
I mean,
she's doing amazing, especially Hannibal.
You are gonna die.
What a feast!
God. Season 3, I hear there's some amazing stuff.
I haven't
happening.
Seen season 3 yet.
Oh, it's about to come out, and they say she has a Bound-esque storyline because Margot is this great, like, that's badass lesbian. So I'm like, oh my God, because she was one of my favorite characters in Hannibal. And then when the movie came out and they cut that character out, it's like, no.
Pathetic. Yeah.
And then
that was terrible because a wonderful strong character that was just gone. Whatever, we don't need her.
I think they're waking up. I think maybe television's waking up more than perhaps at the stage films mainstream films anyway. Yeah. So
they still say that you can't have a lead female in a film, and most lead females in films, you're like, okay, yeah, but who's the
but
guy?
The Games makes so much money. I mean, how much money does it make now? Part One is out now, and that's got some good strong elements, but yet again diluted. I saw the first one and I thought, oh, they took out the children killing children bit. It's like,
exactly, that's
often that
stuff. Well, some people,
but they did that for adults, they did that for the parents, because in the book it's pretty graphic. The books are quite graphic, actually. 10-year-olds are reading this stuff, and you turn to the parents and go, but you bought those books for your 10-year-old for their birthday, but you've got a problem with the screen adaptation. You don't want to see the violence.
I don't understand why people are so weird about censorship, especially nowadays. I mean, kids have access to the internet, so they can literally see everything. Anytime I cuss in front of a kid and the parents get mad at me, I'm like, wow. Well, if that's the first time they're hearing the F word, I am sincerely sorry.
It's the first time the parents are seeing the F word.
Probably coming out of their mouths all the time.
But it's strange with parenting, because with Jennifer and I, when we were growing up, my mom would watch everything with us, even adult content. We just have an open dialogue for it, and it feels like, I don't feel like media should censor things. I think parents should just be parents and educate you on that. There's no age limit to education.
Whoa, how cutting edge. You mean parents actually being there with their kids?
I love all of that adult stuff. Like, I remember when I watched my mom, because of Gene Wilder was in the movie, and she should have known because Richard Pryor was also in it. She got See No Evil, Hear No Evil. Do you remember that? That comedy. Oh, love that movie. And we started watching it, and as soon as the first F word happened, my mom paused it, and we all looked at each other, and my mom's like, there's going to be adult language in this, and we're going to talk about it afterwards, but we're going to watch it together, and don't tell your dad. And I was like, yes!
Oh, it was awesome. I watched horror movies when I was a kid, and, you know, I turned out, you know, pretty successfully.
Well adjusted. Yeah. Okay, so what sort of horror films have you been watching? Because you mentioned off air a list that you might have.
Oh, yeah. We
recommendations.
I always like to put together lists of movies that not everyone's seen, because I watch all the commercial horror movies, but then I always Google online the best horror movies you've never heard of. And there are movies on there like Kill List, which, you know, North America, not enough people have seen.
Kill List is amazing. I love Stoker so much. It's Stoker, one of my favorite movies. Oh,
wasn't that beautiful?
Oh, it's
gorgeous.
And Nicole.
She is so good as an ice queen. When she says she can't wait for her to see the world to tear her daughter apart. It's like, oh my God.
Oh, and Uncle Charlie
and his belts.
That's oh my very God, twisted.
That piano scene. I know, right? I remember at the end, spoiler alert, I was sad because I was like, oh, I wanted the niece and uncle to go away together.
Yeah,
like,
that's that, kind of
what's wrong with me, but
that's okay. Everybody loves that. Wincest, Game of Thrones, incest is the new black.
Oh, I think that's absolutely why Supernatural is so successful. Yeah.
Wincest, exactly. I want to do a Reanimator series because could you imagine Dan and Herbert together? Because they always had that kind of like energy together. But what if you made a whole series? It could, I think it could be very Buffy-esque.
Have you guys seen In the Flesh?
No, what's In the Flesh?
Oh, it's a UK, another wonderful thing from the UK. It's a series one was six parts. I think series two or season two is just eight episodes. It is about a guy that returns, we're not sure, but he returns, he's partially deceased. He's called a partially deceased person, or PDP. It's zombie, but they've found an inoculation, an immunization program to stop them from going full on eating other people, you know, and infecting other people. So they've taken that side of the population that were infected, say, 10 years ago, and they've been inoculated and retrained and then sent back to their homes. So it's all about getting them back into their communities.
Oh, wow.
Re-emerging them, getting them into jobs and all of this, you know.
Brilliant.
And being accepted back into the community. And this guy returns to his little village and there's all these ex-militia that want to try and kill him. Because zombies or partially deceased people aren't people.
That's racist.
Yeah. I so it's got all these great subtexts. It's just cool. You should look it up. In the Flesh.
In the Flesh. I'll definitely look it up.
You get up to episode four or five and you go, there's only one episode left. And it kills you because you go,
is that it? More.
Yeah,
the UK does that though. The UK gives you little pieces of brilliant series.
Black Mirror.
Black Mirror.
What
is Black Mirror?
Charlie Brooker, who writes for The Guardian, and he's a big horror fan as well. He did a TV series called Dead Set, and it's about the Big Brother house. The people in it are the only people that ain't zombies.
Oh, that's brilliant. Dead Set.
They don't know that the rest of the world has become infected, and they're still, you know, transmitting.
That's fantastic. Brilliant.
You must have seen Pontypool.
Yeah.
Especially because of your job. I would be like, oh, Pontypool's the shit. Oh,
Pontypool's, I hear rumors that they're working on a second one.
Really?
I would love that. The writer was telling me, and he said, would you cameo in it? And I was like, you could do anything.
I would show up on that set.
I would do anything to do that. I also love a film or a TV series that can do a one location brilliantly.
Yeah.
Have you seen a film called The Divide?
Yes. Xavier Gems. Is that the one where they're in a basement type of thing? Xavier, it's a crazy film.
It's an insane film.
What is he doing? It was made in the States.
It was. One of my favorite actors, Michael Eklund, was in it.
Though?
A lot of it was actually off book. Like, he would go over to one actor and say, okay, just leave at the end of the scene. And then he'd go over to someone like Michael Eklund and say, don't let them leave the room.
Well,
and other actors would know when they were living
He's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
he's good. So fantastic. He's one of the stars of Vendetta, our new movie, our action film. And he's so amazing. But
we can tolerate having him for only 3 days.
Don't you love French horror? I love French horror.
I love French horror. Martyrs is my God, that's my favorite chick flick because it's all strong women being crazy,
skin peel going wrong. It's like
Roman Catholic altar servers in Western Canada. We have Catholic guilt forever.
What do they call it?
Forgive you. Oh,
don't do that. Yeah,
there we go.
It's all fine.
Absolve. Another great zombie movie. The Battery.
Oh, have you seen The Battery?
No.
They made it for $1,500, and it looks
ridiculous.
Jeremy Gardner. Yeah, he stars in it. He's the director. He wrote it. He's phenomenal.
What other ones are you guys?
Resolution. Have you seen Resolution? No. Two guys that are like us that are a co-directing team.
Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead. I love when it's a directing team because I don't understand like how a person can direct by themselves just because
it seems crappy. It seems like a lot of work.
It does seem like a lot of work.
And it seems like you have no real ally.
Who does
ally?
The most work out of you two?
Jen.
I only do the most work because she's a lot of work.
No, because the thing what Jen does is I can go into a fantasy world, the one that we're creating, so I only know the actors by their character names. I only know what's going on in the movie. I know everything with the movie, but the real world, that I don't want to go there at all. And Jen,
and you
Jen puts out fires. Yeah. Jen makes sure that the prosthetics are exactly how they're supposed to be. That if someone's having a meltdown, she calls them out of everything. Because I don't have a patience for that. Like if someone comes over to me with a stupid question, I'm like, I have no time for this.
It's awesome. It's like an episode of Charmed.
No, it is. Absolutely. If someone has anything,
when
to
are you going
to
direct Charmed? I'd love to see you guys do. Imagine if you did. They rebooted Charmed.
Oh my god.
Six episodes. God, I would want you to do one of those episodes.
I would love to do
with
that.
Shannon.
I still want to do an episode of Supernatural. They film it in my hometown. Why don't they hire me? I just wander on.
I would love to do one bottle episode, one of those standalone episodes, and I would just, you know, let's just write a script.
You would just do a Wincest.
Actually, there would definitely be Wincest, but you know, I would go into. No, I don't. No, I don't want anyone to steal my idea.
Just say it because then it could go out.
I think that it should be the thing that makes the show the most successful is the relationship between the two brothers.
Absolutely.
And I think that we've gotten a little bit away from there in the fantastical.
Yeah.
And I think something down and rooted, like if they were locked in a location. If you had an episode where it's just the two of them again, kind of like that Buffy episode where Buffy was going to kill Anya, and then you had flashbacks to different stuff that happened with Anya.
You know, like emotionally manipulative episodes.
It would be one of those you're going to be crying by the end episodes.
Yeah.
I would.
Someone has to die though.
Yeah, they would have to. Oh no. Sam.
They've died so many times.
Yeah, that's true.
Have you been watching?
Yeah.
Those boys die all the time.
You can't kill them.
No, they're special.
Special
genes. I think you guys have got special genes.
Oh,
certainly.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, I love you.
So we're going to have to wrap it up, though.
Oh, no. Don't talk to Astron 6.
Astron 6 is...
Did you call them Astron 6?
Astron 6.
They should change their name.
We should do a porn parody.
Have you been to New Zealand yet?
No.
Because they say sex is sucks.
Did I?
Sucks?
That would confuse me. I'll see you at sex. What?
So yeah, it's all back to front down there. You should get down there. You never know. Peter Jackson's always looking for.
Oh, I want to go there and break into Weta.
Yeah,
and touch everything.
I think we're going actually next January because my dad, because he's the hugest Lord of the Rings fan on the planet, and I was talking about we should go on the tour and everything. And he looks at
Hobbiton,
me,
yeah,
and he goes dead straight, and he's like, I could die happy if that happened. I'm like, oh well, I have to do that now.
Yeah, you've done it, you know. Have to take the whole family, you know.
Oh yeah, my mom.
We want to take a horseback. We want to go take a ring and throw it off something. We want to do the whole thing.
Absorbing.
Yeah. And Tristan's family lives there too, so we have a place to crash.
Oh really?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's a Kiwi.
Oh my god.
Yeah, Tristan's.
Wow, she hides it well. She seems normal.
She's a mix of everything. She's even got some Egyptian in her.
Far out.
Yeah, in a different time, she'd be worshipped. She's worshipped nowadays too.
Yeah.
Bast, goddess of cats, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, it's early in the morning, but not really. Look, I do have some, because we're having our birthday.
You're 21? Does that mean you can drink now?
I think. And Sci-Fi Squeam's turning 5. So, that might help. I never usually print something out, but I thought I'd better.
That's awesome. Do you want us to say it in perfect unison?
Yes, please.
We absolutely can. Okay. Okay, we're going to do this one and then take a beat and then do that one and take a beat and then that one.
Until okay,
do it. Okay, no, you always start.
You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on
Joy...
You said Scream. Oh, it's Squeam.
It's Squeam, squeam. Like a queasy.
Sorry, like
squeam.
Once more with feeling.
Okay. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Sci-Fi and Scream, happy birthday. Happy birthday, Sci-Fi and Scream.
Oh my god,
that was so Children of the Corn.
You're Children of the Corn.
Was. I might just speed it up and it would sound really freaky.
Wait,
are you kissing Matt?
I'm gonna kiss this one.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I love your guys' station.
That's great. Oh wow, I'm gonna frame that.
There we go.
Brilliant. Well look, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Well, thank you so much for having
us. It's amazing to have you finally in the flesh.
Oh, I can't wait to come back.
Look up that series too.
Oh, absolutely.
And Black Mirror.
Black Mirror and Dead Set.
It creep.
Done.
You guys should work in Britain as well.
I want to go over there.
I don't know why
we
work in Canada and North America. Everyone likes us better in Australia and the UK.
I
kind of
really want to make a movie in Australia. I've fallen in love with your people.
Yeah, you could a zombie movie maybe.
Well, I'd like to come back and make our monster movie, Bob, here.
Really?
I would love to, Bob? Because look outside. It looks like any town. It looks like any city. This could be anywhere USA.
Bob.
Bob is our monster movie. It's a high concept like American Mary, mm-hmm. so it's been a very tough sell. And the tagline is there's a monster inside all of us and sometimes it gets out. And it would be mostly practical and we would have a 7-foot actual monster named Bob.
Yeah. Sounds good. All right, thank you so much for talking to us here on Sci-Fi and Scream. And good luck with See No Evil coming up the 30th of November.
Ow! Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Are you afraid of the dark? You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.